This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
How great is your love for us, Father. Your Father love. We cannot understand it, Father. That you love us so much. That you care so much about us. And the songs that we've been singing, Father, is all about that relationship that we've got with you, Father. The creator of heaven and earth. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That we've got that relationship with you, Father. And then this afternoon that we can come together and that we can hear from you again. That we come to you as your children. That we look up to you, Father, and you speak to us. And it's not condemning, Father. But it's like a father who loves his child and speaks to the child, speaks life into the child, builds the child, gives the child's guidance. And this is what we're looking for this afternoon again, Father. That we can come to you, that we can say, Father, show us. Show us what is on your heart. What is it what you want to share with us today? That we can know what we're doing, it's pleasing you. That we're not going our own ways, but that we're doing your will, Father. And yes, we know the enemy doesn't like it. And the enemy wants to try and draw our attention away. That we are thinking about stuff what happened earlier today or this week. Or maybe what has got to happen later on in this week. But Father, I bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. That our eyes are going to be open to hear each and every word what you're going to speak to us this afternoon. And that our spiritual eyes are going to open as well, Father, that we can see you, that we can see you, see your love, experience your love, accept your love, understand your love. You're so awesome. You're so great. We thank you, Father, that we can come, that you're going to speak to us, to your children. Thank you that we can come to you in the name of Jesus, the one who died for us at the cross, so that we can have a relationship with you, Father. Thank you for that. Thank you for that love. In Jesus' name. Amen. One day or the other, I must bring my glasses that I can see a little bit better. It's awesome that I can speak again, and as what God was giving me, the stuff what I've got to share this afternoon. Yeah, it's actually so awesome, as what I just now said in the prayer as well, that we serve a God who wants to be our Father, and he wants to speak into our lives. He wants to help us. And as we are in the Netherlands, it's typically, let's say, like a father who's teaching his child to cycle. Put him on the bicycle, help him a little bit. Yes, I know, then you fall off, but you climb on again, and you try again, and you try again, and then again, and again. And then you appreciate the father who helped you with that, because he gave you some information which you can use. And I feel as well that God wants to speak to us this afternoon as well about two things. And it's about humility and pride. And it's going to be a little bit this on the one side, and it's going to be a little bit on the other side of what pride and humility is concerned. But I just would like to think a little bit about it. What do you prefer in a person? If you are having interaction with another person, do you prefer that the person is humble, that he shows humility, or that he is pride? Just think a little bit about it, just on your own. The next question is, what do you think God prefers in a person? Does God want to see humility in a person, that a person is humble? Or does God want to see pride in a person, that a person is proud? What do you think? Just share with your neighbor next to And remember that answer, because I'm going to come back to it a little bit later again. Yeah, there must probably be a few people who say maybe a balance, but okay, we're going to come to it back again at the end of the sermon. Because both of them have actually to do with our identity. What are we doing? What are we reflecting to other people? And how are other people reacting to us? If we are showing humility and we're showing pride, what is the type of comments what we're getting from the other people? And that is very important for our identity. It's the same, the identity what we've got towards God. If we are showing humility to other people, if we're showing pride to other people, what is the reaction from God concerning that? Is he happy with that or is he not happy with that? To understand humility, where it actually should be about this afternoon, I'm first going to go to the other side, and that is going to pride. That we first have a look and see what pride is, because that is going to help us a little bit better to understand the humility side. Now, what I've been doing, I've been putting up two chairs with humility and pride that you basically can see. And we in life have got to decide, where are we going to sit? How is our life going to look like? Am I going to sit on that side, pride? Or am I going to sit on the humility side? If we take a look at pride, most of you will know a person who's got that identity, that he is pride. He's full of himself. It's overflowing. You can smell him around, already coming around the corner. Because he wants to, or she wants to tell everyone else about the achievements, what they've done, what the percentages were on their assignments, and how many degrees they've got behind the name, and this and that. They will continuously talk about what they've achieved. They haven't got any time for a poor person, and I'm talking about poor in material, but also poor spiritual. They haven't got time for somebody else. They will talk down to other people. So they were, okay, for my length, I normally speak down to other people. But they are talking down other people. They basically drilling the other person into the ground. That's what they're doing. They will gossip and badmouth about other people. Have you heard this one? Have you heard that one? What about this? What about that? That's what we will also see in a pride person. And that person will compare him or herself continuously with somebody else. It is about, I am this, I'm so good, and then they are comparing themselves with somebody. And after comparing, then they will also tell you that they are better than that person. Because that other person is not as good. And that's why they will say then, or that's why they will compare. They also not can handle it when they lose. If you're playing a game, then you will see that a pride person normally doesn't accept it, that he lost in a game. He wants to play again. He wants to prove again that he is a better one. Because he wants to be the better one. And lastly, for such a person, it's very difficult to forgive somebody else. It's very difficult for a proud person to go to somebody else and say, I made a mistake, please forgive me. That helps you a little bit with what we can see in what a pride person is. And a pride person actually has got one God, and that's himself. So when we're talking about the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, with a proud person, we're talking about the me trinity, the I, the me, and the myself, because it's just about the person. It's not about God. And yes, I've been there. I was in exactly the same situation. It was at a certain time in my life. Unfortunately, it's in the past. And the Bible says I must look forward, so I'm not looking backwards. It was also about me. It was for me very, very important that I could see my name somewhere written down. At a certain time, I was involved in a church, and then we had our newsletter on a regular basis. And it built me that my name was written down somewhere over there as the financial manager, or I don't know what I was at that time in the church. That built me. I was looking for that. I was looking for to become, I should have said, because, yeah, my name is written over there. That's past. It's gone. Fortunately, I don't have that any problem. I haven't got that problem anymore. God doesn't like a pride person. A proud person. He actually hates it. The devil was one of this. He was proud of himself. And there's more what is actually in the proud, but let's just read the verse and then we will come to it. It's in Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 15. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. Can you see now? He wanted to go to heaven. And listen how he carries on. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation. So he really wanted to ascend himself. He wanted to be as important as God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farther side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. That's what the devil wanted to do. He wanted to be as important as God. But then, you shall be brought down to Sheol, which is hell, to the lowest depth of the pit. That's where the devil is going to. He wanted to be proud. God hates it. He hates people who have got pride. Proverbs as well. Proverbs 6, verses 16 to 19. There are six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. Take a look at what's the first one. A proud look. God hates it. But there's more. A lying tongue. We know that the enemy is also the father of the lie. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devised wicked plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. And a false witness who speaks lies. And one who sows discord among brethren. And the last one I always thought, oh, it's not so bad. But it's actually very bad if you're doing that. And unfortunately, I must say, it's happening sometimes in churches as well. That you've got people who speak to the one, who speak to the other, that they are getting angry with each other, and you've got another church split. God hates it. Okay, enough about the proud side. Now we're going to the humility side. Humility is the opposite of pride. And humility, actually the word, where it is coming from, is that you've got to bow your knee. You've got to go on your knees. And that's where humility is coming from. And if you humble yourself, if you go onto your knees, you actually are vulnerable because you cannot defend yourself. But what you're doing then, when you're becoming humble, you surrender everything to God because it's not about you anymore. You're not standing on your feet and trying to run and to do all the things. But you're on your knees, you humble yourself. Let's have a look what we see in a person when they are humble. You're lifting somebody. You're talking positive about somebody. You respect another person. You bury your own me because it's not about me anymore. It's not about the I, the me, and the myself. It's for me always very interesting to sit in the bus and to listen to other people talking. Other people are just talking about themselves. That's what they're doing. I, me. Continuously you hear that. But that's not why God put us on this earth. It's about the other person. A person who's got the humility is prepared to give to other people, specifically time. And when you give, it doesn't mean that you're going to get something back. The Dutch are traders. And when you trade, you pay something and you get something back. But what's happening with humility many times, you do something, but you're not getting anything back. But you were obedient what God was telling you. You prefer to fix than to fight. You also forgive, you release and you bless a person who hurt you. And you allow another person a place in the sun. There's no sun today. But you're allowing the other person, that a person is having a good job, that a person is having a good salary, that a person can have an awesome car, because you're not jealous. If God blessed that person, then God blessed that person. Humility doesn't mean that as you're on your knees, that the other people can walk over you. In Matthew, Jesus is saying that blessed are the meek because they will inherit heaven. And meek and humble are very close to each other. But it doesn't mean weak. It doesn't mean that other people can walk over you. That's not the case. If we take a look at the difference between pride and humility, then pride is arrogance and is looking down on other people. And you're not respecting other people. And humility is to show respect and to be prepared to look up to somebody, prepared to lower yourself to another person. That was also in a certain time in my life. Then I saw the beggars at the traffic lights and they were asking for money. Then I also thought I'm a little bit better as what they are, because I'm driving in a car. If it's sun or rain, I'm better off. So I'm a better person as what that person is. Till I realized that God created that person the same as what he created me. I'm exactly the same. And then you start respecting the person. And then I know that certain people, when you've got a chance to speak to them, you will speak to them, you will ask them, you respect them, you will communicate with them. You're not putting yourself on a higher level as what they are. I'm going to read now a few statements of a few famous people who said something about pride and who said something about humility as well. First one is a very clever guy. His name is Solomon. And he wrote something in Proverbs. And he says, pride goes before destruction. So if something is tumbling down, then it was pride beforehand. And we see it many times. And a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. So he's saying over there, out of his experience, he had everything what he wanted to have. But he still said, it's better to be humble than to be proud, because proud goes before destruction. Saint Augustine, he was a Christian theologian. He lived approximately 400 years after Christ, and he made two statements about humility. The first one is, if you wish to rise, do you wish to rise? Begin by descending. If you want to go up, first go down. So if you want to have a certain position, first go on your knees. And then he says, humility is first, humility is second, and humility is third in Christianity. There's nothing else in Christianity. It's about humility, what we've got to show to other people. And then C.S. Lewis, he's a British writer and theologian. He lived from 1898 till 1963, so he's not that long ago that he passed away. And he says, true humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. So it's not about you, it's about somebody else who God put into your area in and around you. The most important person where we can read and where we can actually learn from what humility is concerned is Jesus. There's no other one. He's the perfect one. And Jesus has been teaching to his disciples, but he was also showing, he was also giving an example of who he actually is and how you've got to live out humility. In Matthew 18, verses 1 to 5, it says over there, at a certain time the disciples came to Jesus and they said, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? They've been walking with Jesus, and Jesus was continuously talking about the kingdom. The kingdom, what they had in mind, was a kingdom which was chasing all the Romans out of Israel. And then they said, who is the greatest? What position am I going to get? Am I going to be minister of finance in your parliament? Or am I going to be head of the army in your... They were talking to each other. They were basically already trying to sort out who is going to get the jobs now. But Jesus doesn't reply directly. He replies indirectly. Then it goes further on. And Jesus called a little child to him. Okay, now I'm very careful now because I've got children myself as well, but they are grown up now. But those who have got a little child, if you ask that child to come to you, the child is going to be obedient and he's going to come to you. That should be the case. If an elderly person is asking to a little child, come to me, then the child will come. Jesus called the little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Unless you are converted. The way of thinking what they had was a kingdom where they were going to get a position and where they were going to be important, where other people had to look up to them. Jesus said, no, no ways. You've got to become as that little child. What is the little child doing? The little child is obedient to the call of a parent. We've got to be like that. If God is saying anything to us, we've got to be obedient. We've got to do that. So it's not a matter of that we make plans and say, okay, God, you've got a certain kingdom and I'm going to have that and that position. No. If God is telling us to do something, like a child, be obedient and then come to him. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. We've got to become humble. We've got to show humility if we are going to want to receive what God wants to say to us. And a child is actually, the children, what I've got, what I had as well, when they were younger, then the dad is everything. Then they come to you and they ask you questions and they want to get answers from you and you help them. And they are teachable. You can guide them. And this is how we should be as well. As I was praying before I just now started speaking as well, is that God wants to be the father. And if we come to them, to God, and we tell God what God has got to tell us, please don't go. But we've got to be a child. We've got to say we are teachable. Lord, what do you want us to do? What must we do? Please show us. We've got to show that humility. Jesus was also speaking in a parable to some who trusted in themselves, who were speaking into his disciples, that they were righteous and despised others. And then he says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other one a tax collector. In today's terms, we still have got a theologian and a tax collector. They still exist, the tax collectors. They won't die. They will be here till the end of the earth. They will collect tax, and they're not the most wanted people in the community. Typically not at that time, because they were collecting the taxes for the Romans. So they were actually collecting taxes for the enemy. The Pharisee stood up. And if we read over there what it says, prayed thus with himself. He didn't pray to God. He prayed to himself. He was talking to himself. He was doing a motivation talk over there. That is what he was doing. There was no praying in it. And he most probably spoke that way that all the people around him could hear him. How good he was. He wasn't afraid of it to share it with the other people, how good he was. The Pharisee stood up and prayed with himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like the other man. Remember that one what we had in the beginning, the pride? You compare yourself with others? This is what the Pharisee is doing over here. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. So he lifted himself up above that tax collector. I fast twice a week. Now, I'm not so good. Why this guy has been doing it, I don't know. And I don't know what his fast actually means, if it is a whole day's fast or whatever the fast. But he's so proud of it, he has got to tell all the people, I fast twice a week. I give tithe of everything that I possess. And then the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He was prepared to repent. Pharisee not. Pharisee was just talking about himself, how good he was, what he had, and what he was doing. But a tax collector said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For anyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. The tax collector was prepared to repent, what the Pharisee wasn't prepared to do. Jesus also gives an example of humility. And yeah, Jesus is actually the best example what we can find of humility, where he goes to the Father, asks what the Father wants him to do, and he's doing what the Father is telling him to do. And then he's talking to the people around him, and he says, "Come to me, all you are labor and heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. It will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me that I'm gentle, that he's meek, that he's humble, that he's lowly in heart, and you will find rest, a relief and ease and refreshment, and recreation and blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is wholesome, useful, good, no harsh, sharp or pressing, but comfortable, gracious and pleasures. And my burden is light and easy to bear. Learn from me." This is what Jesus says over there to his disciples. "Learn from me. This is what I'm going to give you. This is the example of what I'm setting there. I'm gentle and I'm humble." John 13. Again an example. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things in his hand and that he had come from the Father, was going to God. There we can see the position what Jesus had. He didn't have to lift himself up to a certain position. He already had a position, but he came down to earth and was going to God. And in that last supper, he rose from the supper, laid aside his garment, took a towel, and girded himself. I want you just to see it, what Jesus has been doing over there. He took off his coat and he put on this one. And we will come a little bit later what this actually means. Rose from supper, laid aside his garment, took a towel and girded himself. I don't know if they had these white towels over there at that time. I think there was more type of a stony color what they had. I don't think they had that Miele type of washing machine over here which washes that clean. What did Jesus do the last evening with his disciples? He gave them the best example of humility. He took off his coat and he put a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel, which what he was girded. And then we're going to have a look at what James and Peter are saying about being humble. Both of them are quoting Proverbs 3:34. And we're going to start with James first. And James starts and he says, "Adulterers and adulteresses." Now immediately if we hear that, then most probably there are a few of you who are going to put up your hand and say, "But wait a moment, that can't be me. I'm not married. I'm not in a relation or anything like that. I can't be an adulterer." But if you read what the next sentence is, then we understand what James is actually meaning over here. "Don't you know that a friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." We've got a relationship with God. And if we're breaking that relationship with God, then we're committing adultery. So that's why James is starting with adulterers and adulteresses. Yes, I also make mistakes. I also break, from my side, the relationship with God. But fortunately, I can go back and I can repent and it can be restored again. God is never breaking from his side. It's always from my side. "Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealousy?" I'm not going to say anything about that verse because there is nothing what you actually can find in comments about that verse. It was for me very strange, but nobody knew where it is coming from and they couldn't give any more information about it. So I'm just leaving it like it is. But then James says and carries on, "But he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble." And there he is quoting then the Proverbs 3:34. And then James says, if you want to receive the grace of God, and then he is giving five things what we've got to take a look at, how we can receive the grace from God. And he says, submit to God. That's the first one. Resist the devil. That's the second one. And he will flee from you. Draw near to God. Draw near is that we are going to come closer to him, that we will worship him, that we will praise his name. Then he also says, and God will draw closer to us. Cleanse your hands. We've got to get rid of that where we've sinned. We've got to repent of the things what we've done wrong, you sinners, and purify your hearts. Allow that God is going to work inside, that he's going to clean on us on the inside, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and our joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. We do not have to lift ourselves. God will lift us up if we are doing what God is asking us to do. And the most important thing is submit to God. How do we submit? We go on our knees. We submit to God. 1 Peter 5, verses 5 to 7. He's also quoting Proverbs 3:34. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. I'm not going to talk about age groups over here. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. And that's where this cloth is coming from. Because this is what they were doing. Because the word actually says you've got to tie yourself up with humility. Now, what the slaves were doing at that time is that they were putting a top of a towel around them, and that was showing the status what they had, that they were a slave. And that one was close to them, which means it couldn't blow away. It couldn't, like with this weather, that there was rain or anything like that which could destroy the function what it actually had. So clothe yourself with humility. You've got to put it tightly around you, that it is always with you. It's getting a little bit warm in this one. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And humility is actually that we are getting prepared for service, as what Jesus was doing, what he was girding himself. And service is also a test of our humility. Are we prepared to do what God is asking us to do? Are we prepared to take our coat off and put that towel around us and to do a thing which is maybe for the area where we're moving in? They shake their head and say, but what are you doing now? But if God is speaking to you, then you do it. Like I said, Peter and James were both quoting then out of the Old Testament. They were quoting out of Proverbs 3:34. The wording in 3:34 is a little bit different. You can read over there, though he scoffs at the scoffers and he scorns at the scorners, yet he gives his undeserved favor to the low in rank, to the humble and to the afflicted. Then we have a look and say, okay, was there ever a man on this earth who was humble? And I'm talking not about Jesus, but I'm talking about anywhere. The only thing what we can find is Moses. Because Moses was said that he was the most humble man at that time of all the people on the earth. And if we take a look at that story, where it actually shows that Moses was humble. He had a sister, Miriam, and Aaron, but I'll quickly read it. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. So they clapped together and they spoke against Moses. Unfortunately, ladies, but Miriam's name was written over here first. So she most probably started with it. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. So they went against their brother, who had a certain position and a relationship with God, because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. And in the same sentence, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. So they were not happy with that. And they spoke against Moses. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us as well? They also wanted to be important. Because they said, well, if God is only speaking to Moses, is he not also speaking to us? They wanted to put themselves on the top of a pedestal. In that very short sentence, and the Lord heard it, and how God is reacting to it. And then the one verse which says, then now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. And then to see that God got angry, and that Miriam got leprosy, and Aaron went to Moses, he didn't go to God, but he went to Moses, and then Moses cried out to God and said, please heal her, O God, I pray. In today's circumstances, if it would happen that a person is speaking against you and a person is getting an accident, what are you going to say? Most of it will say, that's what you deserved. Now you're getting what you actually were looking for. Not Moses. He prayed. He went to God. He said, Lord, heal her. She was healed. She had to be outside the camp for 7 days. And then after 7 days, she could join and they could carry on again. It's also not that they said, okay, we are leaving. You take the next bus in 7 days and we'll see you again at the next. No, they waited. So it's a community. But somebody repented and somebody asked for God to help them over there. I'm going to finish off with one scripture which is actually giving us a very clear description of the pride and the humility where we've been talking about this afternoon, but typically that God is asking us that we should be humbling ourselves, that we should show humility. Philippians 2 verses 5 to 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So if we haven't got that mind, then we've got to change that mind, as what we've read before. We've got to be Christ-like. We've got to have the same mind as what Christ has got. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Jesus wasn't walking around and say, I'm son of God, and that's the status what I've got, so I need a 5-star hotel and I need a big car and this. No. He was just obedient what God was telling him to do. He was continuously communicating with God in prayer to hear and then to do what God asked him to do. But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. There are two words in a sequence over here which are very important. He humbled himself and he became obedient. We can humble ourselves, but if we still stand up and we do our own thing, it's not helping. And we can try to be as obedient as possible as well, but it's that combination. That we've got to show humility, we've got to humble ourselves, we've got to go on our knees, and then we've got to become obedient. Jesus was obedient to the point of death, even the death at the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every person is going to bow his knee, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus humbled himself. He was obedient. And then God took him and raised him. And Jesus is sitting now next to the Father, waiting that he's got to be sent again. First time he came as a Savior. The next time he's going to come as a judge. And in the meantime, all the people on this earth have got the chance to say, yes, I want to be obedient. I want to be humble. I want to do what God is telling me to do. I'm coming back again to that first question what I asked. What does God prefer in a person? That we should be humble, that we should show humility, or that we should show pride? I don't know what your answer was in the beginning. Maybe your answer has changed a little bit. I don't know. I hope so. I hope that all of us came to that realization that we've got to humble ourselves. We've got to go on our knees. We've got to say to God, but you are God, and I want to be obedient. Speak to me. I want to have that relationship. It's not a matter of that God is on the same level and that I can speak to him whenever I want to speak to him, or I'm a good Christian, or like the Pharisee was doing. It's not where it is about. We've got to have a look at that example of the tax collector. Repent and say, Father, I made a mistake. Help me. And that's coming back again to the identity. The identity is not shaped what other people say, but what God is saying to you. And we've got to be careful what we're doing. Are we going to spend time like the proud people are doing? Or are we prepared to humble ourselves, to take off our coat and to put a towel around our waist and to be a servant what God wants us to be? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you as a Father are speaking to us again, and what you're asking that we should humble ourselves, that we should show humility, and that we can reflect humility to the people around us, and that people can see Christ in us, the way what we are handling other people. That it is not about what we gain to ourselves, but what we can do for you. That there's going to be a change in the way what we're thinking. That we're not thinking like the world is thinking. What do you have before your name? What do you have behind your name? Where are you staying? And what car are you driving? That's not important. With us, Father, it's that the relationship with you, that's the most important thing. And thank you that this afternoon, Father, that we can learn something again about the humility of being humble and being prepared to do the things what you want us to do. And as all eyes are closed at the moment, if you're here this afternoon and you say, I've never made that decision in my life. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've never said to God, the Creator, I want you to call you from now on my Father. And you never said to the Holy Spirit, be my helper. You've never taken that decision in your life. And you feel this afternoon that the Holy Spirit is stirring you, and the Holy Spirit is asking you that you should make that decision now. And I'm asking you to raise your hand. Thank you, Father, that we can come to you, that you're always available, and that we can humble ourselves. And I'm actually going to ask you now that you're going to take time and speak directly to God. If there's something in your life that you feel that you're not really humble, that you're not showing the humility what God is asking for, and when I mention the things about pride that you say, yes, I can associate with some of them, sort it out with God. Don't wait for that. Sort it out with him. And if you want to sit on the ground, if you want to kneel, if you want to humble yourself, humility or anything like that, forget about the others who are sitting next to you or in front of you or behind you. It's between you and God. If there's something where the Holy Spirit is stirring on your heart, don't take it home. Leave it over here. Sort it out. I'm going to give some time for that. And if there's that you say, but wait a moment, I don't want to just speak to God. I want somebody next to me who's going to pray with me in agreement. Then please come forward that we can pray with you in agreement. But take this time now, the next minute or two, that you just speak to God. To God the Father, who spoke to you about humility, did you say, Father, sorry, I've got to repent of this. And it's not that it's a condemnation, but it's just a matter of, like I said, with the cycling, that God is helping us, that we're doing the things what God wants us to do. So I'm giving a little bit of time for that.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.